Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network with Dr. Sean Weiss, who is a senior care expert. And one of the things that I'm always so excited about is talking to you, Dr. Sean, about different aspects of aging. And certainly this topic today of caring for those and trying to communicate with those that have cognitive impairment. I've always seen you as one of the top dementia experts in the world. So obviously this is
brilliant. Oh my gosh.
Well, you are. You're amazing. So I want to talk a little bit about, before we get into the nitty gritty, you talked a little bit about safety. You talked a little bit about the perception of someone that has cognitive impairment. How important is the environment that they live in to be supportive or non-supportive a factor?
It's incredibly important. And whether or not you are living in a senior community, maybe you have your apartment there, or you're living in independent living, or maybe you're in your own home, or maybe you've moved in with one of your family members. How that environment is structured, it really does, you know, determine whether the day is going to be successful, right? I mean, you really do want, especially as your symptoms of cognitive impairment progress and things might get a little bit more difficult, you really want to set up an environment that's peaceful, right? You want to eliminate distractions. You want to keep the noise levels lower. Something that's big right now is, you know, when I talk to some patients and their families, that they're using diffusers. So they're diffusing essential oil in the rooms during the
day.
That's
a good idea.
Like, what are the best kind?
What are the best types of essential oils to use?
Lavender is probably the most popular one that I've heard, just because it is a soothing and it has a relaxation effect. You know, I put lavender in my bath, right? I've diffused lavender in my bedroom because it is calming. It has a calming effect. So that's a really good thing to do. And if you know that you spend a lot of time in the living room, or that's kind of where your time is, and then at sleep time. So those two spots are really popular to diffuse some things. Nothing that's, you know, stimulating, right? You know, some people, I've heard eucalyptus, but more often than not, it is like the lavenders and the vanillas, the things that are calming, can kind of set the stage for the day. It can diffuse any irritation or agitation. So that's super important. Things that are peaceful. You want, like I said, you don't want a hustle and bustle type of environment.
Right.
All of the time, because it can get really agitating for somebody who's cognitively impaired. They get confused. They'll get frustrated. They might act out, and you might see more behavioral issues simply because of how the environment is. What's the lighting like? And I will say really quick about lighting is all the studies show, especially since COVID, that those who live in senior communities typically do not get outside enough, right? So you do want exposure to light. So I'm not saying I want you to have a dark room. In fact, when you're up in the mornings, you should let in natural light so that our circadian rhythms are
exactly
what they need to be, right? So I don't, but, you know, exposure to excessive bright light all of the time, even at night, you know, setting those lights lower at dinner time, after dinner time, that does create and set up the environment. So you do want light, but you don't want excessive, like, fluorescent lights and things like that.
Sure,
so that
sure.
those are some, you know, useful suggestions.
And, you know, I had a guest not too long ago that talked to me about color, that and how certain colors affect those with dementia.
Absolutely.
I was fascinated by a lot of the things that, you know, like a normal person that doesn't have cognitive impairment, they wear a lot of black. And yet she told me black is like, there's no ability for someone that has dementia to see any sort of contortion or you know, it's just like a black hole. Isn't that true?
Yeah. They've done a lot of studies, and I've been through many, many memory care units and communities that they're using, like, for instance, a light green is a color that's very commonly used now. And they have have smart communities.
Yes.
And so the rooms will be painted a light green. The toilets will actually be light green. Like the things that are promoting that, you know, eliminating like the bright reds and things like that. So You're exactly right. Colors have a huge effect on that.
Isn't that
There's a
interesting?
lot of research on that right
And
now.
yet you don't think about it. If you go, if had I known that, I mean, how much black did I wear? My mom wasn't extreme, but how many times have I gone to see someone that has advanced dementia and I was wearing black? It's one of my most common colors.
I wear it all the time.
Today,
so
you
I'm
don't
surprised
think
I don't
about
have it
that.
Up yet.
So that's not necessarily the right thing. If you're thinking about it, go with a green or a blue or something like that.
Yeah, especially if you have somebody like maybe you're moving mom in and you're using a spare room and it's not a very, you know, maybe it was the kids' room and it's a very bright color. Think about, you know, painting that one of those nice pale green colors. It's very soothing. They've done a lot of study with brain waves and brain activity when people are sitting in rooms with different colors.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, colors, environment. So let's talk about us as people. What about like the words we say, our body language, different things like that?
Well, when you have somebody, and like I said, you do, you know, you're talking, you know, pretty a wide extreme of individuals. You know, people that have mild cognitive impairment generally are very high functioning. And sometimes they're the most frustrated because they do know and they recognize that they are starting to have trouble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you go through the different stages of Alzheimer's, you will get to where, you know, they're not necessarily knowing everybody. They're not necessarily remembering what they ate for breakfast, right? So you, given the context of that, there is a wide extreme, you know, you really do want to use a soothing voice, a tone of voice.
Yeah.
You want your language to be simple, not overly complex. You want to avoid, you know, jargon, slang types of terms when you're speaking with somebody. Also, one step at a time. That if there's one thing I could tell you, it's one step commands. So if you're a caregiver and you are doing the daily tasks, say grooming, dressing, showering, bathing, and you're wanting to maximize how much they can do, you always want to maximize everything they can do, not focus on what they can do. So when you're doing that, we tend to just want to throw out instructions and we tend to want to throw out multiple instructions. But what's really important, because the brain is processing so much slower with people with cognitive impairment at different stages, you want to do one step commands. You tell them one thing at a time. And then you need to be patient and give them time to process that. Sometimes
hey,
you
I
might get a
that
blank
with my
stare. I know.
But I
Isn't
do.
That funny?
It's so funny. It's like, it's so hysterical.
Wait a minute.
Because just today, it's hysterical. I said something about, I'm going to finish all the stuff I need to do in our bedroom. And I'd really like you to hang the curtains this weekend. This weekend. Like, how many days advance does he have? And his wet is, I'm not doing that this weekend. And I let it go. And then he comes out and he goes, so where do you want them? And I thought, you know, that is exactly him. He has to process. And he doesn't have dementia, but it's just how he is.
But if you have, you know, if you have any type of dementia and you get overwhelmed with the instructions.
Sure.
And sometimes, like I said, you people that have family members that are going through Alzheimer's right now, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like, you might kind of get a blank stare when you're asking them to do something, but sometimes it might take 10 or 15 seconds and then it will process. So you want to allow for extra time for those daily activities, but you also want to slow down with the instructions. One step commands is super, super important. And close in questions, not expecting a thesis, right? Like you want to ask things that are something that they can answer yes or no. Close in questions is really important.
And you know, that is so valuable what you're saying, because it, again, it's taking it simple. And but you know what I found, like my mother wouldn't take a shower and I knew she wouldn't take a shower. So I learned to attach something. I'll say, Mom, I'm coming over. Let's go to lunch today. So after you take a shower, I'll pick you up. So then she was looking forward to me picking her up, so that she knew that I would call her caregiver or the, you know, her and the nurse's station. I said, okay, Mom's primed. And so the whole thing was, you're going to go to lunch with your daughter, so let's get you ready. So she was better at taking a shower. Was that, I mean, that was two things.
You get that kind of resistance at times. And, you know, having the home health agency for 20 years, you know, we'll see differences in caregivers. Like one caregiver can get somebody to do something every single day, and then the other one is not. And so, you know, part of what we do is advocate for, okay, let's look and see why, you know, Mrs. Smith really loves when, you know, Missy's coming in, but Mrs. Smith really doesn't seem to want to do anything for when Bob comes in. Then you got to look at some of these things. And a lot of times it's not only the words that they're choosing, how they're communicating, their tone of voice, but it's also body language. So,
big
you know,
time.
A lot of times it's simple tweaks like that. A lot of times we don't ask, do you want to take a shower? Because if they say no, and I'm a caregiver and I got to go give somebody else a shower, I'm going to go, oh, okay, they refused a shower. That's not the
that's
right
not
approach,
how we
right?
Do it, yeah.
Yes, it is. It's time to take a shower. Let's go take a shower. And how you approach that with your tone of voice is super important. But then body language. And I think this is really, really critical when we're caregiving for somebody. And that it could be a healthcare provider. Maybe you're a licensed healthcare provider, but maybe you're the daughter and you're responsible for taking care of mom or dad.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. But let me tell you, and I tell my staff this, and how you walk into the room is going to define how your session is going to go. When you are busy, and again, caregivers are extremely busy people, even if you're not a healthcare provider. If you're a healthcare provider and you are taking care of several people on the day and you are behind and you just drove to Mrs. Smith's house in the assisted living community,
and you're in a hurry,
and you're walking in and you're in a hurry, they know it. They know your sense of frustration. They
sure
sense
do.
Your sense of urgency. They do not feel that you're connecting. So how you walk in the room is super critical. You want a warm smile. You want a calm voice.
Yes.
You don't want to be staccato. You don't want to be like, let's, you know, we got to do this. Let's go do this. And that typically is not a good strategy to start with. So think about taking a deep breath before you come into the room, whether it's the
good
living room,
idea.
Whether it's the bedroom to wake somebody up.
Yeah.
How are you approaching your loved one, or how are you approaching the person you're responsible for that day? And it will make all of the difference in the world. Not being so rushed. You know,
and
again,
I'm just going to add to that. If your loved one is in a care facility, whether it's assisted living or anything, you as a family member or as the durable power of attorney have a right to call a care conference as much as you need to. And I don't think oftentimes families know this, that they have the ability to say, you know, I need a progress report on how my loved one is doing. And if they're not, if your loved one is telling me, like, how often do we say, I don't like this and I don't like that, and then we find out, well, she took this was totally different. You know, the results were different. So the point is, I think it's for both sides to understand the full picture is to have, you know, take advantage of care conferences.
That's where you find the most valuable information, because you might have multiple caregivers and then you will find out who's having success.
Yeah.
And maybe who's not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember my mother would say, oh, I just love so-and-so. And I would say that. You know, my mom just loves, you know, Stephanie. She loves
Stephanie. Find out why.
And
yes.
Then, yeah.
What is it about Stephanie?
And then that was interesting. And so they go, wow, I'll put that in her note to make sure that Stephanie goes and visits her more often. And that was the piece I think that was really important to me. And it's an amazing support for that adult child that wants to make
find
sure
out what it is about
okay.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
How is
yeah.
Stephanie approaching what she does? How is she doing her role, right?
Exactly. So anyway, Sean and I, we're going to be back in the next segment, and we're going to talk about listening and observing. And we'll be right back right after this.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.